Maryland, offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Marilyn.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn. I'm an alcoholic. I'm glad to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous tonight, and I want to welcome all the newcomers and let you know that you can recover from alcoholism. I haven't had a drink, and it'll be 28 years in July. And that's just to let you know that you don't ever have to drink again, no matter what. And if you've lost your way, we're always here to welcome you back. I was okay till a couple of minutes ago. I started drinking at a very young age, and it just went on and on and on. And my father was an alcoholic, and I said I would never, ever drink like him. And I married an alcoholic just like him. And that happens a lot. And my first marriage was a lot of anxiety, a lot of drama, a lot of everything, you know. And I had three children by my first husband. And a lot of you know who he is or who he was. His name was David Looper. I never really got along with David after we were married, and I ended up calling him one night and telling him that I thought I had a problem. And so he told me I could come to Alcoholics Anonymous, that I would be welcome here. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I've been around you long enough. I don't want to have to go where you're at. And he thought that was quite funny. And I thought it was a little bit funny, too, because I ended up in AA with him, sentenced to life with David Looper. And he loved to piss me off. He did everything he could do to upset me, you know, and he loved that. That was him, you know. And he, as some of you know, he died a couple of years ago, and he died sober with 29 years. And it's funny because you never really know how much you're going to miss somebody until they're not there, you know. I was doing just fine till my son walked in, so, you know, excuse me. When I first walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, I did not want to be here, and my friend Charlie, a lot of you guys know Charlie, he was a good friend of mine, and I called him to have him come over and take me to a meeting. And he took me to a meeting in Tulare, and it was at this place called The Ranch. And Frank Ross and Charlene owned The Ranch. And so I went there that night, and it was a birthday celebration that night. And there was over 130 years of sobriety celebrating, which I thought was BS. You know, nobody could stay sober that long. And so I'm looking at my feet, and I'm trying not to look at anybody, and I'm a mess. I'm just totally wasted. And I look up, and I'm like, oh, my God. You'll love this one, Monty. I looked up and I saw my ex-sister-in-law, which is Monty's mom. Her name was Patsy. And I thought, Jesus Christ, if she can get sober, anybody can get sober. Anybody, you know? And so my life in Alcoholics Anonymous started then. And It has gotten so much better and so much worse, you know. Over the course of 27 plus years, I've had a lot of things, you know, and I think about it and it's like I can't even fathom having to go through some of the things I went through without a drink, you know. I went through the death of my mother. I went through cancer myself. I went through a lot of stuff. I'm in the middle of a lot of stuff right now. And I can probably honestly tell you that if I thought a drink would help what I'm going through today, I'd probably drink. But it wouldn't help. It would not help me or anybody else. You know, I raised my children working two jobs and neglecting them to do that. And to this day, I'm sorry for that. And I wish I hadn't had to do that, you know. After David and I got divorced, it was like I had no choice but to work, you know. And I'm going to have to back up a little bit because somebody wants me to tell this story that I tell once in a while about my big adventure with David Looper. I was looking for him one night because, once again, he didn't come home for dinner. And so I'm driving around town like the good codependent I was, looking for his car. And so I found it in Tulare. And at that time, there was this place called The Cellar. And it was downstairs, like in a dark cavern, you know. And I went in and called him all kinds of good names. And then I turned around and walked out, and he followed me and started screaming and yelling at me. And I'm in my car, and I'm like, you better get the hell out of my way, because I'm going to run over you if you don't. Well, he's just drunk enough and crazy enough that he didn't care. And I ran over him. And I told him, don't get up. He's still stupid. He got up. And I hit him again. And then I got the hell out of there because I knew he was going to beat me half-assed to death. So I went home and got my children, and I took off to my mom's house. And that was just one of the things. And I wasn't drunk. I wasn't an alcoholic at that time. Or if I was, I didn't know it. And that was just some of the things that happened to me when behind alcohol, you know. There's no telling. If I had been drunk, I probably would have done a lot worse than what I did. But, you know, that's kind of how life is whenever you are living with an alcoholic. And so my current husband, we've been together for like 43 years now, and he didn't know that I was an alcoholic when he married me, because I didn't know it either, you know. And after a short period of time, it was pretty obvious to me and everybody else what I was, you know. And I tried to stop, and I couldn't. And I did not want to go to Alcoholics Anonymous for the reasons I just told you. And in the end, I had no choice. It was either live or die, basically. And I decided I wanted to live. And so I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I saw so many friends, you know, people that I hadn't seen in a while. And I'm like, wow, what are you doing here? And they're like, same thing you're doing here. And I was like, whoa, no wonder I haven't seen you out in the bars. But and over the years, as I've watched people come in, and a lot of people that I used to party with, I've watched them come in, and it's like, hallelujah, you know. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that there's a program that we can come to and deal with our alcoholism, you know. And we do recover, and it talks about it in the book. And that was one of David's favorite sayings. He introduced himself as a recovered alcoholic, and I'm a recovered alcoholic too. A lot of people don't understand that, they don't believe that, but if you read the book, it says we do recover. And I got a sponsor and started doing the steps, and my life got really, really good. It got so good that I thought maybe I could do it again. And so I went out one night. Oh, my God, it was the horriblest night of my whole life. I just couldn't believe that I was doing it, you know. And I was at my friend's house, and we were drinking and stuff. And what actually happened was we were both drunk, and she decided she wants to go get some dope. And I'm like, okay, good, you know. So I'm sitting there, and she was gone, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, and I'm like, all right, God, if you don't get me out of here now, I will never get back. And for whatever reason, I picked up the phone, called my husband, said, come and get me, and he came and got me. And I got back into Alcoholics Anonymous the very next day. And what I learned from that was the step before the first step, I admitted to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, and I hadn't done that before. I had done all the steps, but I had never totally gave it up in here where I live. And so my recovery started again. And it's been a series of ups and downs, ins and outs, and most of it's been good. You know, I've had a life that I never thought I never thought I would ever be happy, and I was actually happy in Alcoholics Anonymous. And excuse me. And over the years, I've sponsored people. And I have a couple of girls here that I've sponsored in the past. My friend Leanne, we've been together since day one. We've gone through everything that life has had to throw at us. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, I'm so grateful that there's friends. I've met real friends here. Like a whole table full of them out there and over there and back there, you know. And Johnny, I used to see him every bar I went to, and I would be like, well, God, he must be really drunk. And he told me one time, every time you saw me, I saw you. I'm like, well, there we are. And I watched him come in and go out, come in and go out. And he's here to stay now, I hope. And anybody else that has a problem with their drinking, you don't ever have to drink again, you know. Life is so much better without all the hassle and the drama. My life was so full of drama, you know. I say my life was so full of drama. I'm so full of shit because my life is still full of drama. Go figure. But it only gets real dramatic when I give into it, you know. And I have to remember that I have to keep working a program. Otherwise, I can be just as crazy as the rest of the people I know. But, God, am I done yet? Okay, I'm not done yet. Okay, so over the years, you know, I've watched people come in, I've watched people go out, and this door is always open. If you're an alcoholic and you don't know what to do, just come to Alcoholics Anonymous. There's always an answer here, you know. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do anything. You just have to not drink one day at a time, and that's all it is. And I never could really understand that. What do you mean one day at a time? If you just don't drink today, you're going to wake up tomorrow, and tomorrow you're going to say the same thing. I'm just not going to drink today. And when I first came in, it was minute by minute. I really, really, really wanted to drink. And I didn't pick up. That's all I did. And that's the only perfect thing that I've done in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've just not drank. And that's all that's the only perfect thing I've done. You know, and I've gone through some sponsors, you know. I think any time you've got that many years, some of them sponsors die on you, and then you got to get a new one, and, you know, over and over. But I'm really speechless here. I'm just like, God. Is it almost time for me to be over with? I'm serious. I just can't think of anything else to say. I'm just so grateful to be sober, and I'm grateful for everybody that's in these rooms, you know? I'm super grateful that my son showed up here today. I've got some pretty heavy things going on with my husband, and he's getting ready to have a very, very serious surgery, and it's a very risky surgery, and I'm dealing with a lot of stress where that's concerned, and I'm just trying to stay in the now. It's not what if, it's what's going on right now, because we don't know. You never know when it's your time to go. And I love life. And, you know, when you're dealing with something like this, it's kind of hard to think that you're not going to have someone with you, you know, that's been there for you for so many years. And but I know that Alcoholics Anonymous is always going to be with me, no matter who comes and who goes, you know. I'm really, really grateful for the people that I've met in Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought I had some real friends out there, but I didn't, not compared to what I have in here. Since I've been a speaker, and I actually was the first woman speaker of this meeting, and my friend Frank Ross, who's not with us, he was the first man speaker, and that has been a long time ago, and he's no longer with us, and this meeting has always been kind of special. I don't come to it very often, but it's got a special place in my heart, which most of the meetings do. You know, I got sober at the Alano Club, and I went to that meeting religiously for so many years. Every single day at noon, I was at that meeting. I didn't do very many night meetings, but you could find me there every day at noon. And it's weird, but when my ex-husband died, he was always there. Every day at noon, he was there. And I think that, I don't know what happened, but when he died, I just quit going to the Alano Club. I don't know why, but I guess probably because I like to piss him off as much as he liked to piss me off. And when he was no longer there, I didn't have anybody to get pissed off at. You know, it's like, why go? But my home group is Clodbusters in Tulare on Wednesday at noon is my home group. And my second home group is Rule 62 on Thursday nights. It's a very good meeting. Huh? No, that one's in Visalia at the Methodist Church on Thursday nights at 7. I don't go to as many meetings as I used to go to. In fact, I was telling Sean on the way over here, I've only been to one meeting in the last month or so. And when you don't want to go to a meeting is when you really need to go to a meeting. And I know that, and you know, it's like, I know all of that stuff. You know, I've been in AA for a long time, and I know all of that stuff, but I'm not beyond it. I'm not beyond getting myself screwed up and you know, just not wanting to share. And I really did not want to do this meeting, and I couldn't think of anything to tell Bill when he called me. I was like, okay, what can I make up? And I thought, well, shit, okay, I'll share the meeting. And it's weird because I don't feel like I have a whole lot to give right now. And you can't keep it if you don't give it away. But you can't give it away if you don't have it. And I've learned that over the years many, many times, you know. And the one thing I've got going for me right now is that I have not had to pick up a drink or anything else in many, many years. And I don't, that's the only thing I got going for me at this moment, you know, is like, without my friends, I don't think I could make it through what I'm going through. And I know they'll always be there for me, and I'll always be there for them. You know, that's what we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. We're there for each other. And I never had that before, you know. I never had any sisters. I had two older brothers, but I always wanted to have sisters. And when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I have sisters now. You know, I have quite a few of them, and I love all of them. And we keep each other sober. We help each other out, you know. When you're going through things like my friend over there is going through, just, I don't know, still going through or almost through, whatever. We're there. We're there to help each other out, you know. And I have people I can talk to. I have people I can call no matter what happens. No matter what happens, they're there. And they're real friends. They don't want anything from me other than to just be my friend. And that's all I want for them, you know. And you can't find that in a bar. I could probably walk into a bar right now and get up on a stool and hear exactly what I heard 27 years ago. The same shit over and over and over. You know, poor me. Oh, poor me. Pour me another drink. And that, you know, there's nothing worse than a crying woman drunk. You know? There is nothing worse than that. I could just kick my own butt when I was drunk. I would think, why don't you just shut up? Quit your damn crying. Have another drink. And that's what I did, you know. And it might be 4 o'clock in the morning and I didn't have anything left to drink. But there was a whole bottle of wine vinegar. And that's really not very good. But it would last me until the liquor stores opened at 6, you know. I've heard that. You think that sounds bad? I've heard a lot of stories about what people have drank. Rubbing alcohol, really? Hairspray? I would never, ever. I say I would never, ever drink that, but I probably would have. You know, if you can drink wine vinegar. But I lived right around the corner from a liquor store, but I didn't want to go to that liquor store because they knew me. So I'd have to go across town to, if I could drive that far without getting stopped, and go to a different liquor store, you know? And when I got sober, I told my husband, please don't tell the family. And he said, are you kidding me? What do you mean don't tell them? They know you're a drunk. And I'm like, did you tell them? He said, no, I didn't have to tell them. At every family function, you know, I'm looking for the booze, and if there isn't any there, then I'm out of there. And we would go out. My husband was a bartender, And I had a bumper sticker on my car that says, respect your bartender. So I married him. And I had free drinks for as long as he worked in bars. And that was a lot of years. And he worked at the depot for a long time. And I would start out drinking there because it's a nice high-class place. And I would end up at places like the Retreat or the Tapper or Green Olive. And, you know, it just went from bad to worse. And I lucked out because I never got a drunk driving. I got stopped right outside the depot one night. I had drove from whatever the name of that bar is. It used to be the Cadillac Club. I don't know what the hell it was called, but it was a one-way street, and I went from there to the depot going the wrong way. And as I pulled into the depot, two cop cars pulled in right behind me. And I'm like, I'm laughing. I thought it was pretty, it was hilarious to me. And they asked me to get out. Please step out of your car. I said, okay. Okay. Do this, do that, all that stuff, you know. And I failed miserably. And I said, you know what? You try doing all that shit with these heels on, you know. They said, take them off. I'm like, oh, crap. So I took them off. And I still didn't pass. And so they start handcuffing me. And I'm like, I got to have my purse. I can't go anywhere without my purse. And it's in my car. And then I thought for a second. I thought, oh, crap. Never mind. I don't need my purse. It had stuff in it, you know, stuff. So I was in the back seat of the cop car, and the cocktail waitress from the depot was a friend of mine, and she came out and she said, you guys, please let her go. I will take her home. And so I lucked out once again, but that happened to me so many times. When I lived in Tulare, it was all about, I partied with the cops in Tulare. I knew every one of them, and they all knew me, you know. One night, they followed me home and pulled me over, and I said, was I speeding? And they're like, no, you were going like 3 miles an hour. And I'm like, well, my head was going a whole lot faster than that. And there's just all kinds of stories that I used to, I can't even believe some of the things that I used to do. And you know, it's a miracle that I'm even alive. It really, really is. Driving drunk was in the fog. Oh my God, you know? I mean the real fog, not just the fog in my head. I left a party one night and I couldn't find my way home. It was foggy, and I finally, after going for, it seemed like I went for miles and miles and miles, and I finally thought, this is not getting it. So I turned the car around, and I'm like starting back the way I came, I guess, and only on a different road. And finally, I saw I don't know what it was called at the time, Country Squire, Delbert's. I know all those names, but I don't know what it was in the first place. But when I saw that, I thought, oh, good, good. I know my way home from here. I left that place a lot of times, drunk. Anyway, I'm real grateful to be here, and I'm sorry I didn't. I got fog in my head tonight, I guess. But I can't think of anything else to say, so I'm going to have to wrap it up. Thank you for listening.